Hello, and welcome to Doc Talk. In recent years, the subject of misinformation has pervaded many of our conversations regarding world news, politics, and more. But how might it affect dermatology care, especially in the realm of social media? A recent study from the University of California found that among 439 acne-related posts to the social media platform in April of 2020, only 17 of the top posts came from dermatologists. The remaining posts were generated from influencers with no clinical background. Influencers often received a greater average of likes despite dermatologists having a comparable number of followers, and they often promoted skincare products that investigators noted were untested or showed no benefit of treating acne. Despite this, or perhaps because of this, there are dermatologists such as Dr. Curran Law of the Schweiger Dermatology Group who have amassed a large following on Instagram and continue to use it to speak to clinically relevant, properly researched skincare methods. Dr. Law spoke about how he has used the social media platform to host a variety of conversations regarding dermatology care and broaden his reach towards patients who might not always have the appropriate resources and knowledge. As always, it was a pleasure talking to Dr. Law, and I think you'll really enjoy this conversation. So I want to give you an overview of a study that came out of the University of California. Basically, what had happened is that a team of investigators looked over a total of 439 social media posts on Instagram specifically that were tagged with acne, any kind of acne-related content. And what they found was that out of all those posts, only 17 came from dermatologists. A lot of them came from influencers, and the content was heterogeneous as well. Before we kind of get deeper into the weeds of that study, I know that you're really involved on Instagram, and I kind of want to ask you about your experience being a dermatologist and talking about skin studies or skin management.
Yeah, I think my purpose for going on Instagram was to kind of educate the public about, I'm sure that's what everybody would say, about the common things that we see, the treatments that are available out there, when to see a dermatologist, what's dangerous, what's not dangerous, what are some common easy things you can look for over the counter that you can try. That's basically the goal of a lot of dermatologists, right, is to make sure that we improve access and increase access to people who don't have access to dermatologists. It becomes hard because there are people that are dermatologists that are sponsored and get paid sponsorships to say certain things, which is fine. Because these are people that, you know, probably speak about products that they believe in. And then you have a number of people that are skinfluencers. I won't mention any names, but there's a lot of them that also have paid partnerships or have created skincare brands based off of their success on social media. And it's really interesting to me because a lot of these people not only don't have a background in medicine or dermatology, but don't often have a background in cosmetic chemistry or understand what products are used and why we use them. And even if you understand the cosmetic science behind a product, that doesn't mean you know the clinical application of that product because everyone is different, right? When we talk about acne, there's bacterial acne, there's mite acne, there's yeast acne, or some people mislabel as fungal acne on social media. That was a big craze a few months ago. So I think it ends up being a big issue because people end up incorrectly diagnosing themselves and trying things that don't work. And, you know, acne can lead to depression, can lead to scarring, can lead to persistent redness. And the scarring from acne is very difficult to treat because it's often deep-seated and there's many different types of acne scars. In addition, there are people that have acne with normal skin, acne with dry skin, acne with oily skin. Is there a hormonal component to someone's acne? Is there a medication that's causing this patient's acne? Is it someone's diet that's causing this patient's acne? So there's so many factors that play a role that you can't, as an influencer that's not medically trained, discuss or go over because you don't have that knowledge. So you talk more about products that are that you like and products that, you know, are paying you to say these things. So I think a lot of people don't realize that. And I think it's genius that Instagram has that paid partnership label. If you're talking about a product that you're paid to, because I think it's important to discuss the conflicts of interest of anything that you're talking about, because there's always going to be a bias, right? So my goal on social media, I personally do not have any conflicts of interest with any company. I don't really get paid to talk about certain products. And I think that's really important and there should be value in that because what I say is based on my best anecdotal medical clinical opinion. And so I think what I would like to tell patients and people on social media is to make sure you look at the credentials of the person that you're listening to recognize that there's way more than just what you see at face value. And there's a lot that goes into assessing someone who has a medical condition like acne. And to make sure you look and trust people that you're watching, even if they're dermatologists, to see whether or not they're paid to say these things. Because all of those things can influence, you know, kind of the information that you're getting.
I've had the privilege of seeing some of your content. And I think what's really important about what you post is that sometimes you do mention things like practices that people can do from the comfort of their homes. I saw a recent post where you said, hey, this is an effective treatment, but it's high risk. So be mindful of that. Yep. I do want to ask you though, do you come across people or do people maybe reach out to you and say, hey, I saw this treatment or this cream that a skinfluencer told me about, and I just want to get your opinion on it. Have you ever had to talk to them about how some of these things might not have been tested or aren't effective?
Yeah, I mean, I get questions like that all the time, and I always have, you know, medical advice. This is just some friendly social content, because, you know, there also becomes a legal thing when it comes into being someone on social media, because you kind of don't want to give someone medical advice, because you have to, you know, you don't want to establish a doctor-patient relationship without physically seeing someone. But I can, if someone sends me a message, and like I had a patient, this is, I'm telling you, for ask me, does Miracle-Gro work for hair as in the garden? Like Miracle-Gro is like fertilizer. And I was like, you know, I'm not your physician, but I highly do not recommend that. That is a chemical that I cannot speak to, that is not used for, that should not be used on the skin. So I don't know where that came from. If it did come from social media, there's so many things out there. Like, for example, who, you know, are doing these like pull-off masks, like the black pull-off masks, like they're carbon masks, and you have to pull them off really hard, and they're supposed to take off all your pores. I've had people contact me and say they've gotten skin scars because they pulled it off too much, and it pulled off a lot of their skin. So I get questions like it all the time, and I kind of guide people to make sure that they're doing something that's relatively safe and not dangerous, and that they should seek care by a board certified dermatologist if they're going to consider using something that they haven't used before or something that is considered higher risk. Because there are things that are over the counter that can be high risk. For example, benzoyl peroxide, which is, you know, acne wash, Panmoxyl. It's not high risk, but it can bleach clothes, it can bleach hair. And I had a patient that was using it, and she was black, and she had, you know, bleaching of her hair, and she had no idea. And it's not something that people talk about, but as a dermatologist, I always talk to about it, you know, I always talk about it to my patients. Make sure you use a white towel. Don't leave it on for more than this much time. Make sure you don't get it into your hair, because it can bleach your hair. So even simple things that are over the counter and that seem benign can have adverse effects.
Something about the study that I thought was really interesting is that the investigators noted that the dermatologists that were included in these posts, and then everyone who wasn't a dermatologist, they had the same amount of followers, the same amount of people that are noticing their content, but, you know, occasionally the exposure or I guess the likes when it came to dermatologists weren't as high. And they said that maybe dermatologists need to be more involved. You're very involved in comparison to, I think, a lot of dermatologists online. So what do you recommend in terms of like reaching out to patients or people interested in skincare? How do you kind of bridge that gap?
I think it's a very fine line. So I think a lot of these skinfluencers are great because they're young. They know how to catch people's attention. They know what's going on. They're very relatable. But they're also, as regular people, are able to do things as, you know, physicians should not be doing on social media. I don't find it, you know, comfortable for me as a physician to be dancing, you know, provocatively, or saying, you know, or using certain songs with foul language in them. Because, you know, there was one advice that someone always told me, and I'll never forget. I'm a dermatologist when I was a medical student, that as a physician, no matter what anybody says, you are held to a different standard, and you have to be careful of what you say, what you wear. Anything that you put out there can come and bite you in the butt. So you have to be conscious of that. So I think good physicians on social media are people that adhere to those rules, and make sure that they show that respect to the people that are following them, because I don't think it's appropriate to put yourself out there in a person that other. And I think you need to be conscious of the language and the songs that you pick, the dancing that you do, the dances that you do. Like, you can't, you kind of, I think the reason why people who are skinfluencers are more successful is they know how to get people's attention. They know the songs that are in, you know, in TikTok trends and dances. That's not something I, personally keep up with, nor do I want to. I think my goal is to make sure that I have an educated patient base. And when I have patients that come see me and they're considering a procedure, I can guide them to my page and say, watch this video, see the procedure, look, see what you think. Come back, we'll ask me questions. Because even in an office setting, you can't just have people in the waiting room sitting and watching all these videos. It's like impractical, right? To like keep replaying 1,000 videos. But if you have a social media page where you have content that people can watch and ask questions based from, I think it's super helpful. So I think, yes, I may not have as many followers as a lot of influencers out there, but that's because there's a conscious reason that I'm not willing to negotiate my professional standards to accommodate to more likes, if that makes sense. It really comes down to making sure that you're at least explaining part of the science and reason behind what you're saying. So people understand, right? I think a lot of people come to the doctor and sometimes they often leave. And I know I've done this. I've gone to the doctor and the doctor will say something. And when I go home, I'm like, oh shoot, I don't know why. I didn't ask why. And so I think it's important to address those questions when you're on social media too, because those are things that people really want to know and will think about when they go home. Like, why is it that I have to use this acne wash with this topical antibiotic? So like all of those things, like the knowing the why behind, I think is very important.
I'd like to thank Dr. Law again for being a part of the program, and thank you for listening. If you want more dermatology news, please follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. We'll be back next week with more Doc Talk. Until then, stay safe and stay healthy.